Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's go around the NFL to keep you in the loop. This is Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
20% of the Texans' remaining games were on the TV screen yesterday. They got Pittsburgh week three. They're going to play Tennessee twice. Started off with Pittsburgh winning 26-16. Ben Roethlisberger with three touchdown passes. First touchdown pass he's thrown since December 30th, 2018 against Cincinnati. James Conner suffered a sprained ankle. Team's optimistic that he's going to have a timely return. But Roethlisberger, 21 of 32, 229 yards, three touchdowns. Your thoughts on the Pittsburgh Steelers and what you saw from them yesterday?
Look, Roethlisberger is an unbelievable story. If you watch the very end, waiting for the next game to start, they did a little video of everything that he went through. Man, I didn't even – that was impressive what he went through. So that was an incredible story for him to have that. But my takeaway is, uh-oh. I mean, that Steelers defense, they led the league in sacks last year. They're a really good defense. That's not breaking news. They look better than they've ever been. They look like classic
top five defense.
Steel curtain defense.
Top five defense. I traded that first for Minkah Fitzpatrick. T.J. Watt had an interception, by the way. J.J.'s little bro.
And the Texans play him next week.
They do.
Week after.
Got to focus on the Ravens first. Got to focus on the Ravens. It was crazy, and I want to get an analogy from you on this.
Okay.
The Giants at one point had a 19-play drive. That resulted in an interception in the end zone by a defensive lineman.
Mm-hmm.
Ironhead's son, Cameron Hayward, if you want to feel old. Cameron Hayward, the son of Ironhead, with the interception. What is the equivalent of a 19-play drive that ends with an interception in the end zone by a defensive lineman?
I got you.
Give it to me.
So you go to a strip club. Okay. You hit it off with one girl. You think she loves you.
A stripper?
Yeah. You think she loves you. She's going to junior college. You know, she's got a kid. But you hit it off, and you're spending, man, you know, $20 at a time, probably four or five times. You really hit it off. She needs a ride home. So you're like, all right. So, you know, you walk out, hop in your car, your truck. You give her a ride home, get you her door, and she says, all right, thanks, opens the door, closes it, and leaves.
Why does this have to be a stripper?
Because you're paying money.
It's a 19-play drive. Why can't it be you wine and dine a girl, you take her to the nicest restaurant, everything's going good, you're holding the door open, you get to her place, seems like you're going to get in,
because,
and all of a sudden she says it's
because there may or may not be an expectation there.
Okay.
But if you're at a strip club and you're spending $20 a pop by four or five times, she asks you to give her a ride home, and then she slams the door in your face, that expectation goes womp, womp.
713-572-4610. What is a 19-play drive resulting in an interception in the end zone? We need the loopholes to help us out on this. You got to do better than the OG on that one.
You can't do better than that.
You got to do better than the OG on that one. Game two, Tennessee at Denver.
Mm-hmm.
Field goal is still a problem for the Tennessee Titans. Three missed field goals, one blocked, two flat-out missed by Steven Gostkowski. A missed extra point. Terrible clock management from Vic Fangio at the end of the game. Didn't use any of his timeouts with less than 2 minutes remaining when he had all three. Titans win 16-14. Jadeveon Clowney on the field. Played pretty good. But you could tell he was clearly tired. That mile high air and not being in training camp. Biggest takeaway from the Titans.
I think they're going to be big trouble as well. You know, I was talking about the Steelers. I think defensively, that to go on the road in the first game at altitude, and Locke was obviously a very hyped up player, and you basically just shut him down. That was impressive, and you won ugly. I think the Titans got something going on.
I'm always impressed by ugly wins.
Yeah,
more so than most. Clowney, by the way, three tackles. Two solos,
big TFL.
He had a QB hit, so yeah. He looked all right. Titans 1-0. They're going to face Jacksonville this week. The two unbeaten's in the AFC South. Who thought we would be including Jacksonville in that? So they'll face each other in week two. Indianapolis. Jonathan Taylor is going to be the starting running back. The rookie out of Wisconsin. Marlon Mack out for the season with a torn Achilles, so Jonathan Taylor out of Wisconsin going to be the guy for the Indianapolis Colts.
I mean, it's not ideal because he's a rookie and you were hoping to have a 1-2 punch. But if you're going to lose Marlon Mack, that's a pretty good option B right there to have waiting for you. I think Jonathan Taylor's going to be really good.
All right, 713-572-4610. What's the equivalent of a 19-play drive ending in an interception in the end zone? Steven, go ahead, help.
I think my equivalent would be like buying a $20 scratch off, winning $500, leaving it in your pocket, and then you wash your pants and it's gone.
Ooh. Ooh.
Yeah.
That would hurt.
But that kind of narrows down who took it. It's not going to disappear.
Yeah, but if it's already faded away, you're not going to get it back.
Well, that's true, too.
Have you ever known someone who's such a degenerate gambler that when they buy scratch offs, they just have them scan them? They don't even scratch them.
I've seen that. I've been in line.
I've had buddies who will buy a $50 line of scratch-offs.
And they don't even have the fun part of it.
They'll just hand it to them and say, all right, scan these.
Yeah.
The hell is the point of that?
You're a degenerate, pretty much. You're a degenerate. Somebody said, John, that is wildly specific. No, man, it's the first thing that came to mind.
Colts are also, by the way, they're going to work out Lamar Miller. They brought in a few guys for a tryout. Former Texans running back recently released by the New England Patriots, Lamar Miller, going to get a workout. Former Jets cornerback Tremaine Johnson, he's in Buffalo for a visit. Workouts today. They recently placed Josh Norman on IR. Tremaine Johnson got paid a lot of money.
Yeah,
he got the franchise tag, then he got that hefty deal. Buffalo looking to boost their secondary. Let's go to Jay. Jay, a 19-play drive resulting with an interception in the end zone is like what?
It's just like Lopez's story, but when you get to her house, her boyfriend comes out and empties your pockets and takes your car.
I'm with you.
I was scared.
See,
that
you
was
can't
going
top my story. I had it nailed, man. I nailed it.
I was scared where that one was going, Jay.
Yeah.
I appreciate you. The boyfriend comes out and empties the pockets. NFL exec Troy Vincent, he did something that a lot of us have to endure.
Mm-hmm.
He sent a, quote, strongly worded email to all of the coaches reminding them to wear face coverings on the sidelines.
We kid around. I use that term a lot. You know, I'm going to write a strongly worded email about this just in a kidding way. I mean, how serious are they going to take this? I mean, unless there are like actual threats in this email.
What are the life equivalents of a strongly worded email that suck?
Mm-hmm.
Strongly worded emails are part of life. They stink.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that. I would say pointless Zoom meetings nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
Pointless Zoom meetings.
I'm with you.
Are up there.
I'm thinking.
An unsuspected bill in the mail.
Yes.
An unsuspected bill.
Strongly worded. Oh, talking with your mechanic. You know, you went in to get the oil changed. That's just a bad circumstance. That's not a strongly worded.
Well, you just got to have a good mechanic.
Yeah.
If you trust him, then
yeah,
it is what it is. Let's go to Mike. Mike, a 19-play drive resulting in an interception in the end zone by a defensive lineman is like what?
That's like performing like a porn star and coming up empty. Because she had to go.
What
are we doing right now?
I guess I asked for this. You did.
I asked for this.
You literally did. You asked for it.
What'd you think of Chris Fowler and Kirk Herbstreit yesterday calling the first game before Steve Levy, Louis Riddick, and Brian Griese?
That's the best Monday night broadcasting team I've heard in years. I mean,
is that really saying much?
No, it's not.
Has the bar been lowered so much to where a prestigious job like that, the bar is so low that people are just blown away by Kirk Herbstreit and Chris Fowler?
They were really good.
I'm not saying they weren't.
They were really
but
good.
But I'm just saying, is the bar so low that you almost felt like you were watching freaking Howard Cosell or something like that?
Yeah, no. I mean, I wouldn't go that far. That was iconic, but I will say this. I want them calling more Monday Night Football games. You know, I don't want them to leave college football.
You know what I also think it is, though? And I truly believe this because I think Louis Riddick has an element of this. And I actually enjoyed Greasy more than Louis Riddick yesterday. I think that people, coaches in the NFL and sometimes analysts in the NFL, not all of them, some of them just have such a snarky, like unappealing – cocky attitude.
Let me tell you what you don't know.
Yes, that they lose the element of just talking to people that like they know what the hell they're talking about. And I think Herbstreit and Fowler still have that innocence with the college game to where they just call the game, they give you the information, and that's it. But with Louis Riddick, a lot of times it's always like he'll preface something and you'll think that he's about to like give you the cure for cancer, but it'll be like, let me tell you, when you get in the red zone, you got to score touchdowns.
Yeah.
Andy Reid, it's like, dude, like, you don't have to talk down. I feel like there's a certain amount of innocence.
Keep it simple.
That Herbstreit and them have.
In layman's terms. Don't dumb it down, but just use regular language. And I think the great ones do that. But they were fantastic.
Top five selling jerseys in the NFL per NFL Fanatics. You ready for this?
I'm not looking. I just put my hand
first
over.
First of all, jersey sales went up 35% for opening weekend this year.
Oh, that's
so
nice.
People were excited to throw the jersey on. 35%.
I'm going to say...
We'll go, 1 to 5. They're in order.
Cam Newton.
He's number two.
I will say Patrick Mahomes.
He's number three.
Ooh, who's number one? Chase Young?
No, think about Cam Newton. And think about
Tom Brady. What am I thinking?
Yes. Tom Brady's number one. Cam's number two. Mahomes is number three.
I don't know the other two. Who are the other two?
One of them is going to be in town shortly.
Mm-hmm.
Lamar Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
He's number four. And number five, Nick Bosa of the San Francisco 49ers. So number one, Tom Brady, two Cam, three Mahomes, four Jackson, five Bosa. Those are your top.
Did you see Chase Young this weekend?
Dude, come on. He should have been the number one pick.
God almighty.
I'm going to sound like Jalen Ramsey. I like Joe Burrow, but Chase Young, come on, man.
Two sacks, including two as a first game ever.
Come on, man.
No preseason.
Come on, man.
Two sacks, including a strip sack, a hit, and a hurry.
It's not going to be as extreme, but I think that's going to be like a Julius Peppers, David Carr type thing.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Chase Young, if you watched him in Ohio State, come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
I mean, he came into the NFL like he's been here 10 years.
Yeah, and they got the dub.
Yeah.
They got the dub. And by the way, the Washington football team almost said the R word.
Mm-hmm.
Only undefeated team in the NFC East.
Yeah, they are.
Who had that happening? Washington sitting in first place.
Same people that had Jags beating the Colts.
Shout out to Ron Rivera. 713-572-4610. Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby's Teacher's Pet has a lot of optimism for the Texans heading into Sunday's game. What can the Texans build on, and what exactly does Texans football look like with Tim Kelly calling the plays? We'll try to figure it out next.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Here's Brandon Cooks on the Baltimore Ravens secondary that he's going to be facing on Sunday.
I mean, you talk about a secondary, those guys playing at a high level. MP has always been playing at a high level since he entered the league, and same thing with Humphreys. And, you know, Jimmy played a lot of football and back in at the safeties. You're talking about guys that are, you know, disciplined and play great team ball on that side of the ball. So, you know, we also have to understand we have to be disciplined as well going against a secondary like that.
I like Brandon Cooks. I really do. I think it's unfortunate that he's in the situation he's in where – you know, everything he does is going to be linked to DeAndre Hopkins. But, I mean, 4 straight 1,000-yard seasons, you can just hear the guy. He's a smart dude. He says at the end of the day a lot. He said it 7 times yesterday in his availability, which is fine because at the end of the day, That's really all you have. That's really all you have. You have the beginning of the day and the end of the day. But he's a smart guy. But I just wonder, and I'm not trying to be trite. I'm not trying to pile on.
I'm listening, man. Tell me.
I'm not trying to pile on. What he thinks about his current situation. He has played for Sean Payton.
Mm-hmm.
He has played for Bill Belichick / Josh McDaniels. He has played for Sean McVay with the Rams. And now he is in a offensive meeting room with Tim Kelly and Bill O'Brien.
Yeah.
What the hell is he thinking right now after being with all of those with all of those potential Hall of Fame coaches, and now he's in a meeting room with Tim Kelly and Bill O'Brien?
You know, it's funny you say that because I was thinking of listening to him talk right there about the little things and how we've got to clean this up, clean that up. I know those are regular cliches in football, much less the NFL. You know, high school, college, pro. People always say that when they're just trying to be generic, right? But I could just hear Bill O'Brien's voice when he was talking. And it just, you know, you can almost like just hear Bill O'Brien saying the same things. And of course, he's, I don't know what he's really thinking about, you know, this versus some of the examples that you just laid out. But I think he's, that stuff doesn't resonate with me. You know, oh, we just got to clean things up. I mean, okay, that's not specific, and I get that you're just talking in generalities. The dude just needs to show up, you know, against a good secondary, a bad secondary, an average secondary, versus blitzes, versus zones, versus press coverage, versus man coverage. He just needs to play. This is like I always say, I don't want to hear about the waves, just bring the ship in. These wide receivers, we don't need to hear about the waves. Just bring that ship in because you guys did not perform to the level that you're paid for, first of all, and that you need to play in order to help this team.
There's really a couple types of coordinators, and Tim Kelly is going to be calling his second game. The debut can be tough because mm-hmm. you've never done it. You've never been on the sidelines calling plays. It's the first time that you've gotten to prepare. But the week-to-week adjustments are another way in which you judge a coordinator. And that's something that Anthony Weaver and Tim Kelly are both going to have to face
mm-hmm.
This Sunday against the Baltimore Ravens. So the evaluation process is still out, but I just find it hard to believe that Brandon Cooks, and I've witnessed it firsthand, I've witnessed it on the practice field, how smart of a guy this guy is. I mean, he's pulling rookies over after plays and giving them in-depth football clinics, basically. Like three-minute mm-hmm. football clinics is what he was giving Isaiah Coulter. And it was impressive. A lot of stuff he was telling him how to sell it so that the ref sees it. He was talking about angles. He was talking about all types of stuff. It was mesmerizing. Sean Pendergast was right there. But I just find it hard to believe that he walks into that room and listens to Tim Kelly and Bill O'Brien after being with Sean Payton, Bill Belichick, and Josh McDaniels and Sean McVay and says, you know what, dude? These guys really know what they're talking about.
You just reinvented the wheel. I didn't think it was possible.
I just find that hard to believe. It's just an interesting thing that comes across my mind whenever I think about Brandon Cooks. 713-572-4610 if you want to get in. We are a few days away from Texans versus Ravens. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Torrance. Torrance, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Hey, what's up, Landry and John? Hey, man, I called earlier this year before the schedule, right when the schedule came out, and I called it in, man. They're going to start off 0-4, man. I'm just being honest with you.
I mean, that's not outrageous.
That's not crazy.
They're going to start off 0-4, man, and then I also picked like 7-9 and no playoffs this year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're not beating the Packers, and they might lose to Tennessee twice. They're going to split probably with the Colts. So there's your 9 losses right there with the 0-4 start.
Yeah, look,
like I said before, then maybe it'll be addition by subtraction, man, because we're not winning anything until we get rid of O'Brien. I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, there's a lot of people actually rooting for losses just because they want it to be very obvious that BOB needs to go. I'm not making that up. I get emails every day. I get messages every day where that is a thing. But, no, he's not wrong. I mean, it's a tough spot that they're in right now.
Mm-hmm.
And, I could see the offense being all right. The defense, I just think, is on an island.
Within 2 years, Texans fans are going to be happy. I've said that before. I think it's starting to come into more focus is what, like what he talked about and what you're talking about there. Maybe a year, maybe this year. But within 2 years, Texans fans are going to be happy because either Bill O'Brien's going to be gone or they're going to shock us and start winning some of these games and get to an AFC championship or a Super Bowl. Look, 0-6 is on the table. Maybe not 0-6. You got to feel like they're going to, you know, pull one out here and there, two out here and there.
We don't know, though.
But we don't know.
We don't know. Like, we do not know about this squad. Like, we don't. The offense has shown us nothing to make us think that their vision is it makes any sense. Like, we knew that DeAndre Hopkins was going to be ready to go, and there were going to be times where Deshaun Watson was going to rely heavily on DeAndre Hopkins, but it was going to result in a win. So, yeah, we don't know. Like, that's the uncertainty is there. It's freaking, like, we could drink Kool-Aid, but we'd be lying to people.
Right, if you're being realistic.
We have no idea.
If you're being
seen
realistic,
nothing.
They have to turn the performance we saw last Thursday, completely around. Because if it's anything in that same neighborhood, they won't beat the Ravens and they won't beat the Steelers. Now, maybe the Vikings is on the table. Maybe the Jags, of course, is on the table. Maybe even the Titans, although that's at Tennessee. I don't know about that. But I'm saying these first three games, if they don't improve, like drastically improve, they'll be 0-3. I'm not going to go 0-6 like what he just said, but it's on the table based on what we've seen. I just think 0-3, they're staring dead in the eye unless they change things completely around.
Let's go to Rick. Rick, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Yes, I've been a Houston pro football fan for 58 years.
Wow.
And I'm so frustrated because now I've got to wait till Bill O'Brien finally gets fired and we start over and hope. I want to see them win a Super Bowl in my lifetime. So I got a quick comment, and I want to ask you guys a question on roster construction.
Okay.
There's so much I'm frustrated about. But what is smart, tough, and dependable? I mean, practice squad players might be smart, tough, and dependable. Kevin Walters might have been smart, tough, and dependable as much as Andre Johnson or DeAndre Hopkins. So I believe today's NFL is looking for explosive, disruptive playmakers. And just our roster construction, where we spend the money, they're not disruptive. They're not explosive players. But I want to name four players, and you tell me if they're smart, tough, and dependable, or explosive, disruptive playmakers. Dwayne Brown, Tyrann Mathieu, Jadeveon Clowney, and DeAndre Hopkins. I'll listen.
Mm. And that
tough,
is a
smart, dependable guys.
That is a great, great question, and I agree with you. We were talking earlier about, you know, the leadership skills that Clint and Show, who are going to be on the air here following us in about 32 minutes, that how did Show put it? He wanted
someone to be yelling at him on the sidelines. He mentioned Ray Lewis and Tyrann
Mathieu. Grab the bull by the horn.
And that's fine. I'm not saying that's wrong. But to his point, the caller's point,
I don't get it.
I want some dudes that can do that. You know, DeAndre Hopkins was tough, smart, and dependable. Sure, he didn't practice all the time. He didn't have to. Dwayne Brown did practice all the time, and he was a bad mamma jamma. He was the scariest dude in that locker room in terms of just physical presence, but for whatever reason didn't fit in. So he makes a really good point, and I agree with it. It ties in with what we were talking about earlier with Show and Clint. Yeah, I don't mind a guy that can be a real leader. But I want a dog, man.
They had Tyrann Mathieu 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, they mentioned Tyrann Mathieu, and I was like, hey, you know, he played here 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, look, there's some things that the Texans need. Someone yelling on the sidelines and screaming at the guys is way at the bottom of the list.
Yeah.
They need to be better coached offensively, and they need better guys on defense. Like, Deshaun Watson's not all of a sudden going to start yelling at people and all of a sudden be like, you know what?
And then
they're
going to
beat
better.
The Chiefs.
Yeah.
and then they just beat the Chiefs.
And then Randall Cobb shows up.
I mean, that's to me, that just seems like kind of gimmicky, like elementary. Like, is Deshaun's mom going to bring orange slices for him at halftime, too? And Capri Suns.
These guys get a check every Tuesday.
Deshaun doesn't need to yell. He doesn't yell. He never has. He's won at every single level. And Tyrann Mathieu was here. They need to be better coached offensively, and they need better defensive players. They don't need anyone to grab the ball.
If you need someone to yell at you to play and you're a professional football player, then you're not tough, you're not smart, and you're not dependable. Period. Because you should be that your check should get you there.
Enron trips down memory lane and John Harbaugh. Oh my, next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Will O'Brien 4-2 in week 2.
as head coach of the Texans. 2-2 following a week one loss. So we'll see what happens against Baltimore. It's been fun 2 week stretches for Bill O'Brien his first 6+ years. Some of my favorites. 2015, Ryan Mallett with Brian Hoyer, the decision who was going to start at quarterback. 2014, they actually started 2-0. Fitzmagic beat Washington and Oakland. You go to 2015, you had this decision that was front and center on Hard Knocks. Is it going to be Brian Hoyer? Is it going to be Ryan Mallett? Fire up those cameras. Bill O'Brien, give him the speech.
You know, I think basically they pay me to make decisions in the name of consistency with the team and trying to get this team into a rhythm, especially offensively. I think it's time to name a starter. So I'm going to name Brian the starter, Ryan, okay? And really, it comes down to consistency. It's just consistency over time from OTAs through training camp, and it's really not that big of a difference. You've got to earn it every day. Yep. Okay, now, and what I would expect from you, Ryan, is to be a professional about it, to prepare like a starter, be ready to play.
Well, did not happen. Well. He was kind of ready to play. Texans started off with a 27-20 loss to Kansas City. Ryan Mallett then came in week two. Texans still lost to Carolina. Ryan Mallett's, I call him White Boy Slim, one of my favorites. Here's Ryan Mallett with John Gruden, QB camp. Pour one out for QB camp.
How do you handle all the criticism? I hear people that criticizing you, questioning you. How do you handle all that right now?
I just do what I know how to do. Just play football.
Because I felt like you were almost getting interrogated, man, at the combine. I mean, they're asking you some tough questions.
Yes, sir.
What'd I say I would do to you if I was playing against you?
You blitz the crap out of
me. Why would I, though?
Because I'm not fast.
That voice is pretty deep, man. Now, you got a hard count?
Yes, sir.
Brad Johnson, my boy, he had a great hard count. Let me hear what you got. See if you can make me jump.
Down! 2288! 2288! Head on!
Pretty good.
Pretty good. He's good with the hard count.
He's not good with the arm. And the Texans,
oh, no, he's got an arm.
Sorry, well, he's got an arm, yeah. He just can't really
doesn't know where it's going all the time.
Doesn't really know where it's going. 2016, Texans started off with two dubs. That was Brock Osweiler beats the Bears and the Kansas City Chiefs. So two straight 2-0, or two 2-0 starts in Bill O'Brien's first 3 years. 2017, however, with Deshaun Watson sitting on the sidelines, Tom Savage starting, Watson would come in at halftime, but the Texans would lose week one, which was confusing to many, including both people in this room. And it was even more confusing to Jacksonville, then Jacksonville cornerback Jalen Ramsey.
Come on, man. Deshaun should have been starting the whole game. Come on, now. Come on, man.
So what did you see from Watson when he was here?
I think he gives them a better chance.
Yeah, he did. Jalen knew.
Jalen knew. And then 4 days later against Cincinnati, Deshaun Watson gets his first career start. He gets his first career win as a starter, 13-9 in Cincy. The highlight of that, Deshaun Watson from near midfield into the end zone. Texans top the Cincinnati Bengals on Thursday Night Football, which brings us to 2018, week one at New England against the New England Patriots. Texans lose 27-20. At halftime, Rob Gronkowski appeared to drop the ball. However, Bill O'Brien did not call a timeout. They did not review it upstairs. And John McClain and Bill O'Brien went toe-to-toe.
Right. No, it's not my job to do that. Okay, so we're all clear on that. Yeah, I mean, yeah, great. Yeah, I guess so, John. That's not my job, though, to call a timeout to make their job easier. You know, whatever you're going to write, you're going to write. But, that's not my job to do that.
Doesn't that still make you mad?
That never really made me mad because I thought he was right.
No. He was right that it wasn't his job.
I thought
but
he was right
about it. But
you call
a timeout in a crucial situation.
It's
the end of the
half.
That.
Yeah, a lot of coaches do that.
That's the thing. And that's why I think he kind of realized that he was wrong in that because he goes, well, I guess so. I mean, kind of like when you get caught in a lie. Yes, they should have reviewed it. It was the last 2 minutes, end of the half, all that. But what are you going to do with that timeout? You can't save it for the second half.
Yeah. I didn't. I think a lot of good coaches do call that timeout.
Mm-hmm.
But
the preface of what O'Brien was saying, and I didn't even really hammer him too bad for that. It was just more entertaining how defensive he got. But, I mean, the preface was they should have challenged it. Or they should have reviewed it upstairs, and it shouldn't have even happened. But, yeah, it makes me mad because lost a lot of money on that game. Week two at Tennessee, Marcus Mariota out for the Titans. This would be Mike Vrabel's first career win as head coach in the NFL and with the Tennessee Titans. And the play of the game wasn't anything Blaine Gabbert did, but it was a fake punt by the Tennessee Titans early in the game.
Brett Kern, the veteran putter, 11th year out of Toledo, stands at the Tennessee 20-yard line. Tyler Irvin back deep, and it's a fake punt and wide open right sideline across the 40, 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown. Dane Cruikshank, a rookie from Arizona, with the catch and run for a touchdown on a trick play in a punt formation.
Man. That was
2018.
Sucked. So that was when
they lost to the Giants the next week, too.
Yeah.
They started out 0-3, ended up going 11-5 before falling to the Colts in the playoffs. 2019, this should have been the best win Bill O'Brien maybe ever had. At New Orleans against the Saints, Deshaun Watson finds Kenny Stills with less than a minute left. And then the defense just falls apart. Aaron Colvin, we wondered if Aaron Colvin probably should have been cut before the season started. They didn't cut him until after this game because Aaron Colvin had a big hand in allowing the Saints to get into field goal range and kick the game-winning field goal as time expired in the season opener.
Remember when we were talking about the Titans game last night and how teams that have good years win games like that? The Texans were that close to pulling one out like that, and not a sloppy game by any stretch. That was a great game to start the year on a Monday night at New Orleans, but didn't get it done.
Get it done, and they were almost going to start 0-2 once again with Bill O'Brien. However, with Jacksonville going for the win, going for the two-point conversion to take the lead in Gardner Minshew's first starts, Viagra was popped.
Jacksonville going for the lead right here from the two-yard line. Minshew in the gun, three receivers left. Handoff Fournette running left, and he stopped. Justin Reed got in there. The D stiffens on the two-point conversion try. The Texans have the lead 13-12 with 30 seconds left.
Wow. Justin Reed, one of his two best plays of the year right there. And they needed it. Needed every bit of it at the end of the year.
And it brings us to 2020. 34-20 loss to the Kansas City Chiefs. The Baltimore Ravens are in town. If the Texans are going to beat the Ravens, there's a lot of things that could happen. But the one thing that needs to happen is the offensive line needs to perform at a high level. John Lopez wrote a column today on sportsradio610.com talking about that very thing. 42.5% of the time Deshaun Watson dropped back to pass, he was pressured by the Chiefs. Six of those passes, he had less than 2 seconds to throw. Yeah. Offensive line has not looked good, and John Lopez is comparing the offensive line to what?
Y'all remember Aaron Ron, don't you? Well, here's the thing. Isn't it funny how once a narrative kind of takes hold that people just run with it no matter what? And so when the Texans, Bill O'Brien particularly, you know, sent two first-round draft picks and a second-rounder to Laremy Tunsil. I mean, to get Laremy Tunsil. I was one of the first ones to say you had to do it. You were disagreeing with me, and that's fair. But I said you had to do it. You had to protect Deshaun Watson. Then they give Nick Martin an $18 million guaranteed contract. Then, you know, you get Zach Fulton. You draft Tytus Howard and Max Sharping. And so you're spending all these investments, all these draft picks, all this money on the offensive line, and they're marginally better for most of the year. They go from 65 sacks to 44 sacks, which isn't great. But we're all kind of buying in. Like, we all bought into Enron back in the day. For those who have been in Houston for a while, or really not, because it was a global enterprise, and it was globally known as a company that did everything right. You had to invest. You had to have stock in it because they know how to do business. That's where you want to invest. Well, you're right, Figgy, because right now we've all been sucked into the offensive line. It's better. That they, you know, even though you can argue and appropriately argue with all the other moves that you think were dumb that this organization has done, Clowney, Dwayne Brown, go back as far as you want. You know, obviously DeAndre Hopkins more recently. You can argue with all that, and you're probably right.
Cobb Merciless.
Yeah, exactly. All that stuff.
Eric Murray.
All of that. Brandon Cooks, Randall Cobb, all that stuff. You can obviously legitimately argue, boy, those were dumb moves. But we all bought into the offensive line. Well, the saving grace is at least they're investing in the offensive line. Here's the problem with that. Unless it changes real quick, the offensive line is not performing up to what they're paying.
You sure?
I am positive.
Did you watch the tape?
They did some good things. Their last three games are arguably their three most important games of the last year. Playoff game against the Bills, gave up 7 sacks. Playoff game that you lost against the Chiefs, gave up 5 sacks. Opener against the defending Super Bowl champs, gave up 4 sacks. At least 2 more sacks that would have been had Deshaun Watson not crossed the line of scrimmage running for his life. 6 times, I believe, was the number that I have. I don't have it in front of me. 6 times Deshaun Watson had to get rid of the ball in less than 2 seconds when he dropped back to pass. Less than 2 seconds. That's inexcusable and unacceptable. So we're all saying, yeah, at least they're, you know, the line's better. I mean,
we were
marginally. Yeah, maybe, well, but not lately.
You might not have watched the tape because here was Bill O'Brien yesterday on the coach's show talking about the performance of the offensive line with all the data and the obvious eye test that most people used and put into practice last Thursday.
You know, the offensive line, again, like I've said every year, I thought they actually blocked well. Couple times where there was a miscommunication. Somebody came free. I think we'll clean that up, give the Chiefs credit. They did a couple good things on defense. But I think that our offensive line really, I thought their run blocking was really good. I think pass protection-wise, there were a couple things. But overall, you know, Deshaun had some decent time. And then, again, the other parts of it aren't always with the offensive line. You know, we had a hot that we missed, and we ended up taking a sack on that. That's not the offensive line's fault. That's, you know, the skill guys. They've got to do a better job. Man, so, you know, it's not always on the line. So I thought the line actually played pretty well.
I think people in the locker room should be a little upset with that. I mean, we had a hot read that we didn't take advantage of. That's Deshaun Watson.
These are his skill guys.
The dude had 2 seconds to throw 6 times. Less than 2 seconds.
These are his skill guys too, though.
He brought in the skill guys.
The other thing that I thought was really interesting, and I don't know, not disrespect to Nuke Hopkins. Mm-hmm. And we almost went a whole show without mentioning Nuke Hopkins. I apologize. But Tyrann Mathieu was talking last week leading up to the game, and he was talking about Nuke. And we've heard all the compliments about Nuke Hopkins, like, ball, hands, conditioning, all that stuff. He said that the thing that impressed him most about Nuke Hopkins was that he can go to the line of scrimmage and he can tell you what coverage is in, what that guy is blitzing, all that type of stuff. So maybe they just missed Nuke Hopkins in that way. I mean, if the skill guys aren't recognizing it, Tyrann Mathieu himself said that was one of the things that impressed him about Nuke Hopkins. So there's that. And, oh, by the way, these skill guys are your guys. Like Brandon Cooks, Randall Cobb, all I heard about was how smart he is. Tough, smart, dependable. It can all be connected to Billy.
Yeah.
To good old Billy O.
But to say we played well when all the data indicates otherwise. I didn't even mention that 42% of the time when he threw back and dropped back to pass, according to Pro Football Focus anyway, Deshaun Watson was under pressure.
I thought it was more than that. With
it
how
felt
I was
like
watching.
It, right?
Yeah. Here is the employee instruction video going around at NRG from King Bill.
It starts with good people. Recruiting, retaining, motivating, creative people, intelligent people.
Tough, smart, dependable guys.
Dependable, tough, smart.
You know when you work for Enron, you're going to see the newest products.
In the cafeteria.
The newest services. You're going to see the newest markets opening up, the newest ways of thinking about things.
We are very confident in how we operate on a daily basis, very confident thought process that goes into really everything.
Enron is a company. We want people to leave a transaction with Enron thinking that they've been dealt with in the highest possible way as far as integrity and truthfulness, really doing our business right.
And negotiate with Billy O, that's what I call him. It was actually fun.
Excited about where we are now with his structure.
When they think about Enron, I hope they think of innovation. A company that will be on the cutting edge of the changes in the industry, wherever those changes are occurring.
In the cafeteria.
It's a wild ride.
Enron Online will change the markets.
That's scary.
The one thing about it, though, Enron had a lot of buyers.
Yeah.
I don't know that there are too many buyers buying.
No, I'm saying we have been buying on the offensive line.
On the O-line, we
have. That's why I said it's his Enron. Because everything else, legitimately criticize him. You can absolutely, and I don't like it. You know, some of these, I mean, obviously, you know, we've all heard the blowback on some of these moves and decisions made, but at least we've all always been saying, well, you know, okay, well, they're protecting Deshaun. At least they got the offensive line's average at best right now.
We're just blessed, though. Hashtag blessed. Thanks to John McClain for hopping on. We got something in the rear view now in 2020. You know, we didn't think that we'd make it to the season, but now we got week one in the rear view, and we can look ahead with stuff to look back on. So normal doesn't feel normal yet, but it is football season. It's a great time to be alive, and regardless of what happens with the Texans, we're just blessed, seriously, to be able to talk about it with all the loopholes. Thanks to the loopholes, if you listen to our loophole, for weighing in. Thanks to John McClain. For the OG John Lopez, for Figgy Fig being the best in the world at what he do, I'm Landry Locker. This has been another edition of In the Loop. Tomorrow on the show, we're going to get to know the Baltimore Ravens. We're going to talk about how they've built the Super Bowl team 7 years from the last time they won it. We're going to talk to Stan. We're also going to hear from J.J. Watts and Deshaun Watson, as well as King Bill O'Brien. But in the meantime, we'll talk to you tomorrow at 10. Clint Sterner and Ron the Show Hughley are next.
Thank you, Peggy.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.